This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Malaganas, Edwards Johnson, the team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Ned.
Yeah.
Speaking of cars, one aspect that everybody can absolutely get around is that fuel prices are too high at the moment in the ACT.
They are crazy high.
We do comparisons all the time with, I think, I don't know if this is just me or it's a Canberran thing in general, but one thing I do end up talking about a lot with people from out of town is how much petrol costs where they are.
Yeah.
And I get so mad.
Because it doesn't make sense. It's all you're doing is driving 2 hours, well, 2.5 hours out of Sydney. It's not like you're going across the ocean.
We're not living in Alice Springs. That's the thing I would say. We are not. It's logistically, it doesn't make sense that fuel costs as much as it does in the ACT, at least to my little brain.
Yeah.
I don't understand. And once again, this has been standing for about 12 months on this show.
Yeah.
Anyone from an oil company is welcome to come on the show and actually explain to us why petrol prices are so expensive.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, Canberra has a huge per capita income and we have no other options to get fuel than where we are.
Yeah.
And the fuel companies go,
cool.
Sweet.
Brilliant.
1+1 equals we get a bit more money.
Yeah.
Here's my evidence. Because there are committees, the government, they're all trying at the moment to say, hey, we hear you. We hear your concerns. We've got a committee. We're going to look into it. And I don't know what that means, but it makes me feel good in my stomach.
If someone's at least formed a committee, then something's happening.
I've got some evidence for the committee, all right?
Oh, wow.
I went on a bit of a sightseeing trip last night. Saw the big merino in Goulburn. Never seen it in person. And what they say about it is true.
What, that it's a big ram?
He's got a couple of big rams on him, that's for sure. And I don't understand why they've gone to that much detail. That's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
The thing I did notice, though, was on the way out of Goulburn, I thought, you know what, I probably won't get back on the fuel I've got. Better go and fill up.
Smart.
Expecting to see $1.35, I think it is at the moment here, maybe even $1.40 because it's an even smaller town.
Yeah.
Well, shock horror to me as I put my fuel in my car for $1.17 a litre.
What?
$1.17 a litre in Goulburn last night.
God, that makes me so angry.
It was E10, admittedly, so look, it wasn't your full premium or anything like that. But
still,
$1.17 a litre. I put $50 in. It filled my tank up. That normally cost me like $80, $90.
That makes me so mad.
It was crazy. So there's a bit of evidence, guys. Not even a couple of hours up the road, fuel is literally like 15 cents cheaper.
What would happen if literally everyone in Canberra just went to Goulburn for petrol? Would they have to take down the prices?
I was trying to do the maths on the way home yesterday of how much fuel would I lose driving to Goulburn just to fill the tank up versus how much fuel would I, like, how much money would I save by doing that?
Yeah.
And I decided, well, it'd be another chance to see those rams as well.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
But Ned, it's time for us to get into the Wednesday work file.
It really is. If you don't know what the Wednesday work file is, it's a segment we do every Wednesday, funnily enough, where we get people from around Canberra who have very interesting jobs. Jobs that if you heard someone down at the pub say, oh, I do such and such, the first questions that would come to your mind, the ones that first of all you go, I'd love to know that.
Kind of almost the dumbest questions. But
exactly.
The most common ones, they're the ones we ask with...
Lifting the lid on the most fascinating jobs from around the region.
It's amazing.
It's Ned and Josh's Wednesday Work File.
And this week, it's with personal trainer Matt. Good morning, Matt.
How are we, guys?
Yeah, not too bad,
thank you. So you, I'm assuming, have some clients.
Yep.
Do you ever see them?
Yeah, he's a personal trainer.
All right, thanks for coming. We've asked the hard-hitting questions. So, do you have any of your clients on Facebook or do you follow them on Instagram or anything like that?
Yeah, I think most of my clients would be on social media of some type.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're obviously following each other and that kind of thing.
Yeah, cool. Do you ever see them maybe on a Sunday, couple of cordials the night before, just tucking into horrible food? Does that make you mad? You're like, I'm here trying to sculpt you and you're throwing it all away on a Sunday.
Look, I guess it's one of those things that comes down to the individual, what their goals may be.
Yeah.
We're all human. I enjoy a burger on the weekend and a couple of beers and that kind of thing as well. So it's one of those things that depends on obviously what you're working towards personally.
Yeah.
Whether you want to, you know, step up on stage or just feel better for yourself. It's really what matters in the end.
Yeah.
Do you find, Matt, I've got some friends that are personal trainers that sort of told me that it's pretty disappointing when you get someone to somewhere and they sort of just for whatever reason, let it go. Do you take that stuff on, or do you go, you know what, everyone's got to make their own decisions?
Oh, I think it's a bit of both in the end of the day. We're there to educate the members and obviously help them as best we can achieve those goals again. Mm. But it's obviously not our responsibility. We can't be there every second of the day, although we would try as best we can. We certainly can't be there every minute of the day making sure that you're doing the right stuff.
Yeah. What's, would you say, the most common thing that people want to work on when they come to the gym? Do people want bigger arms? Do people want bigger chest, legs? Like, what are people...
Just varies, I guess. You know? Males, obviously, bigger guns. Everyone wants to do the bicep curls.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's a case by case. So depending on the demographic, the age, you know, male, female, just varies across the board. So it is...
In your professional experience, can you confirm or deny that the bicep curls get the girls, or is that
absolutely?
Okay, great. There we go. Just thought we'd get, we just make sure that was laid in stone right there. Okay, fantastic, mate. When you see somebody, do you go, I know exactly what would work for you. I know exactly what we need to do, or do you get working with someone and sort of see things changing? Go, cool. So that worked really well. We'll keep doing more of that. How does it work?
It's certainly important to get to know the individual, and obviously you can't just look at somebody and say, hey, this is what we need to do from day one. You know, it's a getting to know their training style, what they can actually, how hard they can push, I guess you would say, and their lifestyle as well. So it comes into a varying factors there. But obviously you can't judge a book by the front cover. So it's a matter of getting to know them and then going from there.
I'm an extremely impatient person. And so the question I have for you is when somebody is not, how do you work out basically when someone is giving it their all? How do you not go, come on, you can do a bit more than that. Yeah. Like, how do you get to a level of skill where you're just experienced enough to go, no, that particular person, that is all they can do. They're trying as hard as they can right now.
Well, I guess if they're down on all fours, they probably can't go too much further than that.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's one of those things that's just, you get to know it as a personal trainer and you know your client and you know how they are going to respond to the workout. Mm. And I can't suggest how quickly you learn, but you look around at the personal trainers and they just know it's like maybe a seventh sense or sixth sense, whatever. It is. Yep. So it's great to go to a workout like that and get 100% out of your client.
Yeah.
And, you know, just seeing the results at the end there.
Do you have any clients that are, for lack of a better word, bigger than you and you're like, well, I don't know, you seem like you're nailing it. Like someone wants to bench press 200 kilos and you're like, I can't even spot you, mate. This is way too much weight.
Yeah, it's easy then. You just adjust the program so, you know, they're not going to be stronger or bigger than you.
It's really like, look, you're looking a bit better than I am.
Just keep it in check.
Just got to tone it down a notch.
Yeah. Well, mate, thank you so much for having a chat to us this morning, answering some PT questions. We very much appreciate you making the effort.
Awesome. Happy to be here.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
We are currently asking you on 131060 about your flight horror stories.
That's right. What happened to you on a flight that was just horrible? It was just shocking. There's no need for these kind of things. Did someone fall asleep on you? Did someone vomit on you? What really happened on your flight?
Yeah, let us know. 131060 is the number to call. We got Deb on the line from Waniasa. Deb, how are you?
Hello, how are you guys?
Good, well, thanks, Deb.
Great, Deb.
Loving Wednesday. But, Deb, I've got to know, let's take this down for a second because obviously you might have a flight horror story.
Yeah, I do. I was flying, I was in South America on a holiday with my now ex-husband. I did survive, obviously.
Yeah.
We boarded a plane by a company named Aero Santa.
Okay.
And the plane was like white and red and, you know, looked like a Santa Claus almost.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, they were hammering on the motor as we were boarding the plane. And then when we went into flight mode, we hit the most almighty thunderstorm, incredible thunderstorm, and we had about six stops over the Amazon. So I was pretty scared. It was really bumpy. Through the lightning, you could see the forest down below. Back then, I guess there was no, less likelihood of people finding you in the jungle if you were to crash.
Yeah.
And was the first and only time in my life that I drank some whiskey. I took the tumbler off my cousin and found it like within 3 seconds. I was so scared.
That sounds like the beginning of Jurassic Park 3, they crash into the forest.
That's true. That is exactly the same thing. Deb, when you say you stopped six times, does that mean the engine stopped six times?
No, it was up and down. We had to land.
Oh, right, okay.
Up and down, and one time we actually had to land on water.
Oh, my God. This is terrifying stuff, Deb.
That's insane.
That's amazing. Are you sure? Is your ex-husband Indiana Jones by any chance?
Oh my incredible.
Deb, that is terrifying.
Yeah.
That is a horror story.
I'm glad you made it through it, Deb.
Yeah, no, me too. Yeah. Annie's on the line right now from Gungahlin. Annie, how are you?
I'm good, thanks, boys. How are you?
Not too
good,
bad, thank you, Annie. Now, so what was going on with your trip with your boyfriend?
So we were in America and I got really, really sick. Turns out I had pneumonia, didn't know it at the time. And we're on a flight from Miami to LA that we had missed in the morning. And so we got onto another flight, we were separated, and I spent the whole 6-hour flight vomiting nonstop, sitting next to complete strangers who had no idea who I was, and I was so sick. And we get off the flight and the boyfriend's like, oh, that was a really good flight. I watched like 5 movies. And then there's me, just pale face, almost passing out in an airport, having the worst flight of my life.
So that's honestly, for me personally, if I'm hearing the story correctly, Annie, that is a double horror story.
Yeah.
First and foremost, what you had to go through, and then probably the reaction your boyfriend received after telling you he had a great flight.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, I went and got a haircut yesterday. Nothing out of the ordinary.
Just those details are coming up after 8 o'clock, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
Just realised I didn't actually say when that was going to happen.
You'll have to listen for the rest of eternity to find out.
Just keep listening.
No, I went and got a haircut yesterday, which is nothing out of the ordinary. Just got a bit of a top up. Just needed a haircut.
Top down, really?
Top down.
And took some stuff off the top.
Exactly right. And off the sides. But I'm quite chummy with my hairdresser now. I've got a hairdresser. It took me a while, but I'm really happy with it.
I'm still yet to have the...
You and I are polar opposites of the scale, because I have him on Facebook, and so now, because it's a barber and you can't make appointments, I just go, hey, are you at work? And he goes, yep. And I just go and get my haircut. I am still, like, that's how close I am with my hair, with my barber. I'm still so awkward, and I don't know if this is unusual for me or if anyone else does this as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you're getting your hair cut, I have a horrible resting, I'm not enjoying this face.
Yeah.
I often drift off, because getting a haircut's quite boring. You're just sitting there and you're moving your head and you're looking down and you're looking to the side and you're doing all that kind of stuff. It's pretty boring. I often catch a reflection of myself in the mirror and go, oh, wow, I'm pulling that face. It looks like he has completely ruined my hair.
Mm.
And then I make...
Is that what the facial expression you're giving out?
That's it.
Yeah,
and it's not like a facial expression I'm meaning to pull. It's just completely dead behind the eyes.
Which is funny, because you normally... I wouldn't say you have resting angry face at all. You have like... a goofy face normally as a default, which is kind of very inviting, and people feel like, oh, he's having a nice time.
That's it. And so maybe I'm overthinking this, but anytime I like look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, I look so sad or angry. I look really angry, I feel like.
Yeah.
And so then I catch myself and go, oh no, I can't believe I'm pulling this face for God knows how long. So then I like overcompensate by like open mouth smiling.
Yeah, that's creepy. Yeah. Then, looks like getting turned on by getting a haircut. And, yeah, that's very creepy.
And then he goes, because he's just seen me all of a sudden chip up, go, oh, so far so good. And I go, oh, loving it, mate. Yeah, and then I overcompensate. Even if I'm getting a bad haircut, I'm like, oh, perfect. Don't worry about it.
Quick question to you, right? Yeah. Do you have a lot of chatter, a lot of banter with your hairdresser?
Not really, because I think English is his second language. So we have a bit of a chat and he's like, oh, how's work? And I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. But other than that, he's got a job to do.
Yeah,
he's
cool.
He's focused on cutting my hair.
Well, see, I find that I normally have a look of terror on my face when I get my hair cut. It's not anger, it's fear, because I'm like, what are they doing? What's that movement there? But there is, and I'm so sorry to the lads if they're listening or if this gets back to them. There is a barbershop in Gungahlin that I sometimes go to, because I dabble. I go all different places.
Yeah,
if I need a haircut, I go wherever I'm closest to is where I'm getting my haircut. But my local is in Gungahlin. And this guy and his mate, they basically hold court in the shop.
Yeah.
So they talk to everyone. Everyone gets involved in a big group chat.
Oh, it's like a barbershop.
It's a really good vibe. Yeah. Like and so I'm always stoked when I'm in that chair and never have a bad look on my face, because we're always just having a chat about
having a laugh.
You know, music festivals and stuff. It's a good vibe. But normally, if I'm in a hairdresser where I don't know anyone and we're not chatting, terror is the look on my face.
Yeah. That's it. So you just have like a default. I'm glad that I'm not the only one.
No, you're not the only one. You're not the only one.
Thank God.
And also, sometimes it's, and I don't know if other people feel this when they're getting their hair cut, it's one of the only times you really look at yourself solidly in the mirror for a very long time.
And you look damp and you look frightened.
You look dead behind the eyes. Yeah, and you sort of go, is this what I look like to the rest of the world?
Surely I can't look like I can't look this bad. Someone would have said something by now.
The answer's yes, and no, they won't say something.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Ned.
Yep.
We're asking this morning, 13 10 60, how do you spoil your pet after the fashion icon, Carl
Lagerfeld,
died. His cat is going to get a substantial amount of his fortune. His cat had 2 maids.
Yep.
His cat had a bodyguard.
Yep.
Apparently, his cat also, this is probably the least exciting part, had his own iPad.
Had an iPad, had makeup and fashion lines. Like
that's more success. It's a business cat.
Well, that's why he needs the money.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have to continue on this business now.
131060 is the number. What is the most extravagant thing you've ever been involved in around a pet?
Yeah, do you spoil your pet?
Tiana's on the line right now from Banks. How are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, no, great, not too Tiana. Bad. Thank you. Now, how do you spoil your pet?
By throwing birthday parties, making a birthday cake for them. Okay. My last birthday, I spent over $500 on presents for her.
Oh, wow.
Hang on, what?
Okay. What animal first and foremost?
A dog.
A dog. Okay.
What did you buy for $500, Tiana?
Bit of everything: a new dog bed, lots of toys, treats. Yep. And, yeah.
That's insane.
Okay, so no, that's not
what's happened, but like that amount of things. That's more than I got for my last birthday. I think my parents called me.
I got a $50 JB Hi-Fi voucher, and I was stoked to get it. So I mean, look, honestly, a new bed would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Did the dog look genuinely concerned? Like maybe it thought it was its last day or something like that? Because a lot of times that's what people do for their dogs. They give them this lovely last day.
Yeah.
Was the dog confused, or does she know the drill and know it's her birthday?
No, she was pretty excited. I also filled the lounge room with balloons because she loves popping them, so she ran around playing with that. And, yeah.
Tiana, can you organise my next birthday,
Jesus,
please?
Christ, Tiana, that sounds amazing.
That is fantastic. Isabel's on the line from Tuggeranong. How are you?
Good, how are you?
And I'm not too bad, thank you.
Isabel.
What do you do for your dog that's a bit extra?
So I own a little chihuahua. She's very precious. I bought her a $400 bed and she won't touch it.
Yeah, well, that's a little on you.
Yeah, so my whole life we've had Labradors at home, and you buy them beds, they eat them. So, you know, not touching it, at least you could resell it. Yeah. I mean, that's a good thing.
Have you tried to... explain to me what this bed looks like, Isabel, because for $400...
Is it memory foam?
Yeah, what is it?
It looks like something that would be in the Royals family. Like, it's very fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Richie Rich had a dog, this would be its bed.
He
is
did
that
have
what you're
a
saying?
Dog, didn't he? He had a dog, didn't
pretty
have...
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, let Isabella answer the question, but she's right. I was wrong. He had a dog named Dollar. It was a Jack Russell. Jesus, mate. Don't be so eager to correct me about stuff.
I just really, really need people to know about Richie Rich's dog.
Tennille's on the line from the land of $1.17, Phil Goulburn. How are you, Tennille?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Driving as well.
Just probably no need to drive. Just feels so cheap. Why
having
don't
a car
I?
Running while she fills it up.
Tennille, what's going on with your mum's dog?
She's got an American Staffy and she cooks it. Mince and brown rice and veggies every night.
Oh, my God.
You know what I had for dinner last night, Tennille? I had that instant soup and bread. Not toast, bread. That's what I had for dinner
Ned's
last night.
Ned's living like it's the Great Depression at all times.
I ate potatoes.
So what else happens for this Staffy?
She does change it up. She goes and gets a hot chicken, shredded chicken.
Yep.
Feeds it that.
Good. Nah, I'm glad.
Oh, this dog's internal organs would be in better shape than mine. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. Did anything else happen, or is it just the food that's extravagant?
Oh, no, it's the bed. She lets her come inside. We've never had animals inside.
Mm. Yeah.
They let her come inside. Mm. They put her in the rumpus room on a towel. She watches they put YouTube on for her so she can watch other dogs.
Of course. And why would she not?
She has a pillow from the couch that she can lay on.
Yeah, okay.
This is the best.
When you ask that question, I'm like, not often do people cook brown rice and mince for your dog and then go, you know what?
You're an outside dog with the greatest cardiovascular system on earth.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7. Ned and Josh's Demolition Drive. National Capital Kia, Josephson Street, Belconnen.
Hit1047.com.au is where you go right now, right this very second, to sign yourself up to be a part of the Demolition Drive. What it's going to be is you hand your old crappy car over to us. We will line it up along a driving range with five other people, four, you'll be one of the five, other people's cars. And then we will line you guys all up with corresponding balls that are going to be coloured differently. And the first person to hit their coloured ball through their car window and have it stay in there old car will win the brand new Kia Picanto.
Now, look, there's a video up on Hit 104.7 Canberra's Facebook page. We went down there with Boss Rod, who thought he could get it in with three shots.
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't do that. It's a lot harder than it sounds. What we're going to do right now is just run you through some of the logistics. Like you said, there's going to be five cars lined bumper to bumper out 60 yards from where you will be driving your balls. All you have to do is get your color-coordinated ball into your car.
How much is 60 yards in metres?
It's about 55 metres. So it's pretty close.
Is that where we had the test car the other day?
Yes. Right,
well, you can head to the Hit 104.7 Facebook page and the Instagram, by the way, and see this video of us having a test at it. I will give you some feedback from the test.
Here's a little hint if you're already entered.
It is absolutely possible.
Yep.
So don't, if the naysayers out there are saying you'd never hit it, you'd never hit it, it is absolutely possible. It was done 3 times in the 40 minutes we were at this driving range.
Not only twice, because I went and pulled them out. But it was Matt and Jason at work who did it.
Okay, so I thought Jason did it twice.
No, no, no. And okay. Matt at work was furious that you said that.
Okay, so I thought there were three, there were two.
There was
the
only
point
two.
The point of the matter is I am shocking at golf, and I managed to hit it through both car windows twice.
Now, this is
so
a problem.
If that ball had stayed in the car,
yeah,
I would have. But the point is the accuracy, I was able to do it twice on a fluke.
Here's the thing that I will give you a hint about, and you've just touched on it briefly just then. Because it is 55 metres away, and you may think that 60 yards, like, that's pretty close. I could knock that in.
Or you may think, what's a yard?
Yeah,
which is also fairly understandable.
What kind of yard? There's an English, a Scottish, an Irish. There's all kinds of yards. If you, 55 metres away doesn't seem that far away, that in itself is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite hard to hit
it.
A ball, because yeah. That's it. You can't drive it. I mean, you could try to, but it's very hard to drive it low to the ground because it's just got to go through your window.
There've been all sorts. I've heard it on the street. I've heard it from people who've talked to me about the demolition drive. All sorts of chatter around how this is impossible.
It's not.
I'm here to tell you, in 40 minutes of us being down there at Gold Creek Country Club the other day, I hit it through the windows twice.
Yep.
And we technically gave away 2 Kia Picantos.
There you go.
So this is very doable. The rules are very simple. You are going to have only... You can hit other people's cars. That's
which I would suggest.
If you hit your coloured ball into another person's car, no Kia Picanto for you, no Kia Picanto for them.
Yeah.
Just probably more dings in their car,
and
to
you're
be
showing
honest.
Off.
You're showing off a little bit.
I feel like when we get out there, we should just have one practice. So everyone's on the same page. We have the 5 cars lined up. I feel like we should have one practice where everyone gets to smash someone else's car with a golf ball.
I think the only problem with that is imagine if someone literally gets a hole in one and we're like, it's a practice.
Yeah. We'll have to preface it by saying it's a practice, but please someone smash other people's cars with golf balls.
I am so excited to get this in motion. We are going to be having our first entrant in just a couple of days.
Yeah.
Hit1047.com.au. I've got to tell you, the entries are going to start getting finalized, so do not miss out on your chance to be a part of the demolition drive. It's happening right now at Hit 104.7.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Right now, after Jenny Morrison, the wife of Prime Minister Scott Morrison, has said that her kids do not have social media or phones, and they're 11 and 9,
yeah.
And I have said that seems perfectly normal to me. Like, why would a 9-year-old and 11-year-old need a phone?
Yeah.
She's copped some flack online of like, oh, strict social media ban.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I think if I was a parent now, which I'm not, but I think if I was, I'd be not doing the social media stuff until
this is
well into being teenagers.
If you're a kid on the way to school now, I'll say, like, the most insane thing that you could probably hear right now is there used to be times where I'd go to my friend's house when I was, like, 12. I'd ride on my bike to my friend's house, and if he wasn't at home, that was it. I didn't have anything to do.
You just would never know
if
your friend was at home.
I'd just knock on the door. If no one answered, I'd be like, well, he's not there. And I would have no idea where he was.
The older listeners listening to this going, well, at least she had a bike. So, I mean, it's just all degrees. It's all degrees.
Stick in a hoop.
It's all degrees, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
131060 is the number to call right now. We've got Justin on the line from Waniasa. Justin, what do you do with your kids and the phone? Like, what is the whole,
what's
is there
the
an
rule?
Age? What's the go?
Yeah, well, my daughter, who's only just not long turned 12, she turned 12 on the 28th of December. I actually got her a phone on a plan.
Okay, all right.
So
is it one you can control what she can see and what she can't see, who she can call, what she can't call, or is it a full-fledged, like if she was an adult phone plan?
Yeah, it's an adult phone plan. It's an iPhone XS.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, congratulations to your 12-year-old daughter on having a better phone than me. But the other...
She's got a better phone than me too.
Yeah, right.
I'm
still
my phone for her phone.
Yeah,
right.
Cool.
Justin, I don't want to freak you out or anything, mate, because maybe you haven't even thought about this, but does any of it freak you out at all?
Like how open the internet is and now she's got that in the palm of her hand.
Does it freak you out at all?
I am quite concerned. I do sort of regularly check it. As any good parent should.
Yeah, of course.
Especially when it comes to, you know, internet browsing, social media, anything like that. I mean, just know what's up there.
Yeah, just keep an eye on it.
But is it the kind of, do you subscribe to the philosophy of she's going to be around social media regardless of what I do? I might as well endorse it so that I
try
can also
educate
it. Yeah.
Snapchat, Facebook, TikTok and whatever else the other ones are. I'm sorry, out of the loop because I'm that old.
That's right, mate. Don't worry. Fine, mate. I can't keep track.
I don't even know what Pinterest does, so that's fine. There's no
Pinterest.
I don't have any idea. But yeah, that's a good philosophy. Go with the education monitor. That's cool. All right, yeah. Fiona's on the line right now. Fiona, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How you going?
Yeah, no, not good, too bad. Fiona, what's your policy in your house?
My kids didn't get phones or any social media until they started high school.
Okay. Right, okay.
And I love Jenny. I think that, you know, let kids be kids. They're mm-hmm. not supposed to have social media or phones. I mean, phones is up to a parent's decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Social media, you sign. You tick that little, I agree to the terms and conditions. And I'm pretty sure it's 12 and unders aren't allowed.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
That's it.
Yep.
That's so true, Fiona.
Well, this is the thing, Fiona. When you say, and this is honestly, I agree with you first and foremost, but secondly, just as a point of discussion, when you say let kids be kids, are kids eventually, this is going to be part of being a kid though?
It is, but it's when they get into their teenagehood and that becomes the social factor and they have to learn how to behave in a social manner.
Yeah.
And children don't have those skills to make proper decisions when it comes to putting... They are their brand, you know? If they're putting themselves up on social media, they can't take that back.
Mm, so that's true.
As an employer, that's the first thing we do. We check social media.
Yeah, true.
Like, yeah.
How did you present yourself to the world? You are your brand. So as a parent, our job is look after our children, let them be kids, let them not have those worries of the world and you know, have people constantly on them. Let them come home and play and be their friends. Get on their bike, go to their friend's house. You know, like you can't, if you give them social media, they stop doing that kind of social interaction.
Yeah, of course. I 100% agree.
And it is still a very weird, like new thing in the world in terms of human interaction. Like I think kids say like a mean thing to a kid in person and most kids go, oh, you get to see the other kid's face and I've hurt their feelings.
Yeah,
but when you're online, you don't get to see the other kid's face. And
yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, it's a new form.
This is where society is going wrong. We've got too many keyboard warriors.
Mm.
They can sit there and just, you know, say whatever they want without worrying about the person that they're talking to.
Yeah.
You know, where's that kindness gone?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. A bit of face-to-face. Yeah. I feel like it helps.
You get to see body language. You get to read how something's hit someone and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, Fiona, this is a good point. And look, I've got to say hats off to you for being a parent in 2019. I'm terrified of having kids.
I'm going
to
wait till everyone nails it.
I am not ready for this.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
For personal injury compensation, there's one team that gives you more. Visit MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.